Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
720 WGN, it is Dane in for Dean. And This Week in Health is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Always great to have on with us Dr. Santina West. She's the program director for the McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine Residency at Northwestern Medicine Del Nor Hospital. Dr. Wheat, welcome to WGN.
Thanks. How are you doing today?
I am doing okay. Hey, that's really a great question. So for you, when you ask people, it's an entirely different context, right? Because it's like, oh, not good, right? A lot of times, you know, people are there for a reason.
Often, sometimes they're there for just preventative, which is my favorite. But yeah, sometimes it is a not so great reason that they're seeing me.
Well, it's still important to be able to touch on those, get some, you know, advice and inspiration on all things health. And you had a couple topics that you had, that we had talked about either off the air or Eli had shared with you, and one that a lot of people are talking about, and it's something that has a couple different contexts, whether it's Eric Dane, right, and suffering from ALS, and of course Steve McMichael, the beloved Hall of Fame Bear. It was something that he suffered with. It's a devastating disease. Obviously, there is no cure for it, at least in most situations, but it is kind of mysterious.
It absolutely is mysterious. Some people also know ALS as Lou Gehrig's disease, but ultimately it's just this disease where your muscles stop working and it really progresses over time. And then ultimately it's not just the muscles that you intentionally control, but those other muscles like swallowing and breathing that we really do need to live. And unfortunately it's a disease that just progresses in a fairly horrible way, unfortunately.
Yeah, everybody who hears about it, you know, it's one of those things. Oh geez, is there sort of a time frame that people should either look out for that or maybe worry about it more? I don't know that it affects kids that often. So is there maybe a time frame for it? And then what are, I guess, some of the symptoms or things that you could do?
Yeah, so it definitely is not something that we usually see in children. I will say middle-aged adults is where we are often seeing it, thinking like 40s, 50s, 60s even. And usually it starts with something sort of out of nowhere that you just feel like you can't control your legs or you can't control your arms. And it's really about the muscles where maybe you start falling, maybe your coordination starts going. And it just really does progress. And there's not a whole lot that we can do except for ensuring that you're still exercising, doing physical therapy and occupational therapy to help you continue to have control, and just really making sure that everyone around you understands what's happening.
I don't know that if there's a correlation with heredity. Maybe there is, but I don't know that it's a super strong correlation where let's say like breast cancer or something, where people would be proactively doing things in order to try to prevent them from getting it themselves. It's one of those things. Dr. Wee, are there things that you can, I guess, do or not do that would lower your chances for ALS?
Honestly, not to my understanding. About 90% of it really is we don't know why people get it. There is some hereditary component for some people. That's only about 10% of people, according to some of the ALS websites. But most times we really just don't know. We do know that there's something that changes in the neurologic cells in our body that causes it, but we really don't know what's going on here.
Yeah. Here's the thing, too, that I think the reason that we hear about some of these people get things all over the place. It's something that happens, but the high profile nature of it allows me, you know, these are beloved, whether it's athletes or whether it's people from your favorite television shows and generally people that have access to good health care or resources. And if they can't do anything about it, then it really is one of those really scary things, right? Because it doesn't matter if you could afford the best procedure or maybe some new, medication. It doesn't matter. If you get it, it's pretty much going to progress.
That is absolutely true. It's one of the horrible things about this is that we really, like I said, we can do physical therapy. We can provide support to make people more comfortable, but there's not a whole lot else that we have available to help us in this one.
Dr. Wee, what's the typical timeline? And here's one thing that people have asked me too is, so you had mentioned you kind of just fall into a diagnosis, maybe something happens, but you may have had it for a while and just didn't notice it, or maybe the symptoms were kind of mild. So how long from the time that the person says, hey, I've got something and I know the diagnosis isn't really something easy for everybody to do. I think it's a process even to come to that conclusion. And then what is the progression? Do people have? So Eric Dane, I think he lived, you know, from the time he announced it, we don't know when he was actually diagnosed. It was maybe, I don't know, like a year and a half or something. And Steve McMichael lived about maybe 3 years. I feel he was sort of on the longer end. It seemed like he was able to extend his situation. What is the thoughts there?
Yeah, so most often the average that we're seeing is that it probably doesn't get diagnosed until a year or even a year and a half until after those first symptoms start. Because some of those symptoms that, like I mentioned, aren't necessarily super specific. It's muscle weakness. But then once people do diagnose, it can progress sort of slowly for about a year where things sort of change slowly, but then it can move much more quickly. And unfortunately, if somebody is diagnosed later in life, then we seem to see it progress faster. But the average is about 3 to 5 years after diagnosis, though some people do live over 5 years, some people do live over 10 years.
Wow.
But it is really, it's really hard to guess how long someone is going to be impacted by this.
And correct me if I'm, Dr. Stephen Hawking, we all remember him. He's the guy in a wheelchair that had the robotic voice that was a genius but couldn't necessarily move. Did he have ALS, and was it the same variety that, let's say, Steve McMichael have? It just didn't progress the same way?
To be honest, I'm not sure. It sounds similar, but it's really hard to say. I'll have to look that one up.
Well, that's all of us, right? We're all trying to kind of learn and explore here. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, I want you to collect your thoughts a little bit on this, Dr. Weed. Is we had one of our daughters, one of her friends' relatives, passed away tragically. He was only 12 years old and had what felt like, or it seemed like, cold symptoms. And it turned out to be, I think it was encephalitis or something, that, and she ended up passing away at the hospital for. And this is something that, you know, there are signs and there's symptoms a lot of times, especially now with cold and flu happening, you know, that maybe sort of mimic more typical things, and people are slow to act on it. But I just wanted to get your thoughts on that when we come back from this break. So we're going to take a break here. We'll be back. It's Dane in for Dean, 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Dane in for Dean, continuing our conversation with Dr. Santina Wheat. She's the program director for the McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine Residency, Northwestern Medicine, Del Nor Hospital. Dr. Wheat, before we get into the serious issues of the day, of course, it is National Margarita Day, and margarita, well, tequila itself is known as, I mean, Chris Chelios would be the first to tell you that you shouldn't overdo it, but if you're going to, you know, tequila is probably one of the healthier spirits that you can use.
I can't say anything one way or another about that. I'll just say, if you're going to enjoy the margaritas today, make sure you alternate it with water so that you stay hydrated in the process.
Stay hydrated. I love that message. Before we went to the break, we had a tragedy that we were familiar with in our family, and it's got to be the kind of thing. I think I had heard about it before, but again, something that's sort of mysterious. And just your thoughts on that. You know, if this is happening maybe more this time of year, maybe it gets misdiagnosed more this time of year with the cold and flu symptoms, but we had someone pass and it was like viral encephalitis.
And so sorry your family has experienced this. Encephalitis is a dangerous inflammation of the brain. And it's hard because it comes from other viruses usually. So sometimes we see it with, like a flu, you could get encephalitis. The one that I worry about a lot right now is the measles is known as a viral encephalitis. There's other diseases that are some of the mosquito illnesses or the tick illnesses that can also cause it. The biggest difference that we see with people that have encephalitis versus typical, maybe like cold or flu viral symptoms, is that the person that's experienced it is often confused. And so if it's somebody that you can't really arouse, if you can't really wake them up, or they seem confused, then that's when I really worry more that this is progressing. And we really want you to get not just to your doctor, but potentially to the emergency room so that they can really make sure that they're doing the right treatment.
We talked about the progression for Lou Gehrig's disease, which is, I guess, in the scope of things, pretty rapid and pretty fast. This is shockingly fast, right? This is something that you really need to sort of recognize those symptoms and get on it. As quick as, like, within hours, correct?
Yes. If you can get to treatment within hours, it can really be helpful. There are antiviral medications that we can use. There's steroids. Sometimes they can help protect the airway, but absolutely when somebody has encephalitis, you might see them have seizures, their behavior is strange, and recovery is really slow, but early treatment can help.
Okay, and then the age groups related, she was only 12 years old. Is that typical, or is there at a point where you sort of age out of having to be as concerned about it?
There is not an age when you age out. We sometimes see this in babies, unfortunately, which is hard because they don't really talk and tell you that they're confused. But so we see it with them. We can see it with teenagers. This is something that really can hit anybody. You can have it as an adult if you get a severe virus, particularly if you are immunocompromised. So unfortunately, this really does span the age range.
Wow. You know, so from negative things to properly managing good things, right? What is the best way? We've just got word, Eli just gave me the thumbs up, that the United States has won the gold medal in hockey. And so we know that there are going to be a lot of fans out there, just fans of America, right? Certainly hockey, certainly sports that are going to be celebrating. Like, what are some healthy ways that you can show your excitement around this Olympic gold medal?
I mean, I think that there are, you can always have parties, you can cheer, the people sharing the American flag to show our support around there. If you do go to parties and are indulging in different drinks or different things, I always will just say moderation along the way, having healthy options while you're there too is a great way. I never will say don't enjoy things, just make sure that you do it in moderation with a balance.
You can just jump around, right? You can just run around the room. I'm sure people fist pumping, maybe do some jumping jacks.
Also enjoying those sports yourself, having the opportunity to go and try them out and experience them.
So, Dr. Wee, you are saying it. This moment right now with you on the air, this is going to be an inspiration. So many kids out there that were thinking, hockey, why would I do that? And it's a pretty aerobic sport. It's good for you. You got to be a good athlete and in good shape to do well at it. You're probably inspiring more people to take up sports in general because of this conversation.
I mean, even if you're not Olympic bound, having those sports, it's a great way to have fun with other people. It's a great way to stay healthy. Absolutely, we should all be out doing that.
I know you want to run around the room right now, and so we're going to let you get back to it. But before we let you go, give information about where people can get more information about the things happening at Northwestern, or maybe some links social media-wise, or how people can keep up with you.
You know, you can find me on Instagram with my name. It's not hard to find me. I go by Tina. But in general, with Northwestern, you can go to our Northwestern website and you can see all of the fun things that we're doing. If you're looking for somebody to take care of you as a physician or other care provider, you can find all of us on that website. And we are all here for you. We want to make sure you have the best health possible.
Yeah, I think the emergency room is going to be a pandemic of excitement and celebration coming in. So this could be an emergency of positivity. So, thanks, Dr. Wee. Thanks so much for jumping on.
Have a great week. Thanks for having me.